Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Got a great episode coming up, but first let me tell you about the Jace case from Jace Medical. You know these guys. They've been doing this for a long time, trying to make sure you are in control of your own healthcare. What a fantastic idea. Now, the Jace case is a great product from a great company because they look at, like, okay, the supply chain, there's been problems with that. You know, we take for granted these basic medications that get us through, you know, bacterial infections and basic illnesses that used to, like, kill people, but we now have all the medication we need, right? Maybe not. Have you noticed that we have over 200 medications in this country that are at shortages right now? I think it was 230 before the turn of the year. This is something that is, like, a real problem, and the Jace case can help you address this. And it can also just put you in control. Why do you need to be, you know, why do you need to be depending on the government or the Chinese government manufacturing your medications? Get them in your house right now and use them when you need them with the Jace case. All you have to do is fill out a simple form online and you'll have it there ready in case you need it. There are dozens of add-ons as well you can do. Check it out, jacemedical.com. Enter the code STU at checkout. Get a discount on your order today. The promo code is STU at jacemedical.com. J-A-S-E medical.com. The promo code is STU.
STU does America.
Don't miss out State of the Race, the podcast series covering the 2024 election. Just put up a new episode on Friday. You can go check that out. There's some BP stuff in there. We're going to be talking about Vice President today. But you can go back and check, go deep into all of the polling that is out there. You get it wherever you get your podcasts under the STU does America feed. So just go to STU does America, follow that, and you will get both podcasts. Be sure to check out the show on YouTube as well, youtube.com/STU does America. You can like and comment the videos. We love when you do that and get the bell for notifications. Glenn Beck is here with a terrifying look into the world of gender affirming care. Got a surprising update on the Sam Bankman-Fried FTX saga. We're going to start by doing Trump's VP power rankings. A little fantasy sports here today when we're talking about the VP. Going to go through how Donald Trump is coming up with his list, who he is looking for, what kind of traits is he looking for in a VP, and then who's in the running, who should be the favorites, who is getting lots of media hype and shouldn't be. Let's just go through all of it here right now. And I started with kind of just a list. This is just my list, okay? I'm just trying to get in the mind of Donald Trump a little bit. How would he be thinking about this? Some of this is based on reporting. Some of this is based on just, I think, obvious stuff, right? Stuff that Trump has either said or stuff that you'd think would be on the top of Donald Trump's mind when he's going through this process. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of these right now. So let's go through them. And, you know, if you got an extra one, maybe you're thinking, hey, I think he's thinking about this. Put it in your in the comments below, and maybe we'll go through those on the next show. So number one, these are not in any specific order, but traits that Donald Trump is thinking about when he's picking his next VP. And the first one I'm going to bring to you is loyalty. This is no surprise, but this is something that Donald Trump really prioritizes, right? He wants someone who is not going to flake on him and when there's a big scandal hitting. He wants someone who's going to be there backing him up every step of the way. He wants someone who's going to always do the dirty work, do the stuff that is maybe not so easy. If you got to step in front of the cameras and defend him about, you know, the Access Hollywood tape one day, he wants people who are going to take that challenge on, right? He wants someone who's going to be there when he needs him. And that one is tied to our next one, but is a little bit different. And I think this is the number one thing he's looking for when he goes in. And I think this is like the litmus test. This is the first step, because if you're Donald Trump and you just went through the 2020 election and all that has surrounded it and all that has existed since, you have probably one thought about what's important in your vice president. When he looks back at the Pence vice presidency, what does he think about? He doesn't think about all the times Mike Pence went on TV and backed a policy that maybe Mike Pence didn't really believe in. All the times that Mike Pence went on TV and was supportive at a time that, you know, Mike Pence is a conservative Christian guy, probably felt uncomfortable, but did it anyway. That kind of falls into the first category of loyalty. The second one I'm going to go with here is a non-Pence on January 6th. And if you think about this from Trump's perspective, forget what you think about January 6th or what should have happened in the 2020 election, whether it was stolen or not, whether Pence had any power to decertify this election. Throw all that out the window. We know what Donald Trump thinks about it. Donald Trump thinks Mike Pence should have stepped up and said, no, I'm not certifying this election. This should go back through some other level of process, and Donald Trump should be awarded the presidency down the line. That's certainly what he thinks. And I have to believe his absolute first thing he's looking for is someone who will clear that hurdle. Now, to me, it's a pretty high hurdle to ask someone to do that type of thing. I think it's interesting, but who's that person? It's someone who doesn't think that they have some other vision of the Constitution than Donald Trump has, right? Someone who thinks that when you're in the clutch, when you're in that moment where Donald Trump comes up with some version of the Constitution that might, you know, diverge from what you have as a VP candidate, maybe you as what conservatives have had for a very long time, he wants someone in that moment who's going to say, Don, I'm with you. And I think all these candidates that are in this running are being either asked directly from Donald Trump that question or have aides that are trying to suss it out. Will they go the Trump way in a moment like that? This is the defining moment of Donald Trump's VP pick from 2016 in his mind, right? That he believes Mike Pence let him down in that moment. He's going to find someone who wouldn't do that next time. At least he's going to try to believe he's got someone on that front. So that's not a non-Pence on January 6th. I do think that's like a litmus test for this. Anyone who's going to be picked, it's not going to be someone like, you know, I don't know, Ted Cruz is a good example. Ted Cruz has been pretty loyal, certainly since 2016 to Donald Trump, backed up almost all of his policy proposals. In that moment, Ted Cruz believes he knows the Constitution better than Donald Trump and is going to say, absolutely not, I'm not doing that, right? That's why I don't think there's any chance that Ted Cruz would be picked by Trump. Okay, next up, straight out of central casting. This is a Donald Trump standard. He loves talking about this. He says it to people all the time. It's one of the reasons why he picked generals for every role in the administration when he started. He likes having those people directly out of central casting. And that can mean different things. It can mean someone who's attractive, right? Someone who's very camera friendly. Can also mean just someone who fits the bill. Right. Someone who looks strong, like Mike Pence, in a way, sort of fit the bill. He looked sort of presidential, looked like he had some hubris. Is he an attractive guy? I don't know. But he looks kind of like a vice president. Right. So it's not necessarily, are you on hotornot.com? It's more of like, do you fit the bill of someone who should be vice president of the United States? Next up is subservience. This is an important one. And it's sort of important for every vice president in every administration. You don't want someone who's going to come out and publicly disagree with you. Like if you have a policy belief, like you think, I remember this happened with McCain and Sarah Palin. Palin quite clearly was a global warming skeptic, did not believe in any of the stuff that John McCain did on global warming. However, when it came down to the interview, when they said, hey, you've been saying all this time you're skeptical of global warming, you don't want any of these policies, John McCain is passing, he wants to pass McCain, Lieberman, he wants all these big taxes and cap and trade when it comes to global warming. How are you going to deal with that? And she just had a really like, well, we don't agree on everything, but, of course, he's the president and we're going to go along. You have to have that person in that role. I think that's probably even heightened under the Trump administration where there's going to be moments. Look, any person who gets this job, there are going to be moments where Donald Trump is doing something you don't like. And Donald Trump doesn't want to hear it. Now, behind closed doors, you want to bring up your objections? He may be game. There's lots of reporting that shows that he was game to hearing those things for at least a while behind closed doors. He doesn't mind hearing the disagreement. But at the end of the day, when it goes public, you better not be out there with any pride in your own policies, right? That is just part of this job. It's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't want it, right? Because you've got to really fold to what Donald Trump wants. It's part of every vice presidential role and heightened under the Trump administrations. Fundraiser. Are you a good fundraiser is our next trait Donald Trump is looking for. You know, Trump, you know, has got lots of money. We know that. Doesn't really like spending it on campaigns. Would rather kind of take the money in from donors. He will spend it when he needs to, but, you know, he'd rather raise a lot of money. He will be able to raise a lot of money. He's going to raise maybe not as much as Joe Biden, but he will raise a lot of money here. One great thing about any vice president is having someone who can go around and collect money around the country. Someone who can, you know, get in front of those high-profile donors, and they won't be, oh, they're sending Pence, you know, they're sending Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is actually a pretty good fundraiser. She doesn't seem to do anything else well. But, you know, Kamala Harris is in that realm. You want to have someone who can come out, raise money where you don't have to do the work. You're out campaigning maybe with 25,000 people at a rally. They're at a donor retreat with 14 people raising millions, right? You want someone who's going to be able to do that for you because you can only be in one place at a time. And it seems like Justice Department is going to make sure he's in a courthouse. So who's going to raise the cash to support this campaign? Next up, and this is a controversial one. I'm going to put it out there. I believe this is something that Donald Trump is looking for in this VP pick. And it is someone who is light on abortion, has a light touch when it comes to the issue of abortion. I'm not happy about that one. I think abortion is one of the most important issues we have. I don't need people who are giving ground on that one. But what I will say is if you listen to everything Trump is saying, he's not backing off the fact that he was the guy who got Roe versus Wade overturned. His judges did, at least. That's all true. He deserves an immense amount of credit, in my view. And from the left, he deserves an immense amount of blame. But he is someone who recognizes that if he had a weakness in 2020, it was with suburban women. Suburban women tend to favor abortion, particularly upper scale voters on the income scale. So that has been a problem area for Donald Trump. It used to be a strength for Republicans and has been a problem for Donald Trump. You see him. He's run away from this issue. He said, oh, well, just leave it to the states. I'm not going to take a real strong position on this. Republicans in the 6-week abortion ban that DeSantis passed in Florida, that's too much, too harsh. Now, it still would allow about 40% of abortions to occur. It's a 6-week ban, but that's too much for Donald Trump. He sees this as a real weakness. He, right or wrong, has bought into the idea that this is a bad thing for the Republican Party and going into this election and his own candidacy. So I don't think you're not going to find a hardcore religious conservative that talks about abortion all the time. I don't think that's going to be the pick for that reason. Good with the media. This one's pretty obvious. As someone who can handle the media and go on TV and be competent, not blowing it all the time. And there's been some candidates lately have had that issue. Addressing a specific group. I hope this isn't really too much of the calculus. Never really works with VPs. They don't always win their home states. They also tend to, it doesn't always work. You put an African-American on, oh, we're going to do well with the African-American vote. That doesn't seem to work. I don't think that's really a thing. The woman part of this is probably the strongest part of this. He's done worse with women in 2020 than he did in 2016. Perhaps he goes that way in that particular realm. And then this is one I don't have an answer of which way he wants to go. But he has two choices here, which is what kind of VP does he want? Does he want an attack dog or does he want someone who will do no harm? Pence was a do no harm candidate. He went out there and was soft spoken. He tried to justify the things Trump was doing, but never really went too deep on that stuff. Attack dog is, you know, you think of a Vivek Ramaswamy type that's going to come out and just go after everybody in the media and be like a Donald Trump Jr., right? Not that he's going to pick his own son for vice president, but like someone who will go out there on the media and just like fire on all cylinders every time he's out there in defense of Trump. Which way will he go on that? He went do no harm last time. Will he reverse that this time? So NBC News is asking this question, who will be Donald Trump's vice president? And we have a list of odds from betonline.com. And some of these I think are crazy. Like, for example, the co-favorite right now on this list is Doug Burgum. Doug Burgum, the North Dakota governor. Now, he would be put in that do not harm. He's not very, not really notable for much other than being wealthy. He has a pretty good record, by the way, in North Dakota as a governor, certainly economically, maybe that, and with energy. So could be a good pick. A lot of people would say he's a little squishy on certain issues, but Burgum would fit a lot of the categories here. He's not exactly straight out of central casting, but a lot of the other stuff he actually does hit. I just don't buy it, and I don't know exactly why. I'm the guy who talked about Bergamentum, joked about it quite a bit. Bergamentum turning into Bergamania right now. Everyone's in favor of Doug Burgum, but, like, it just seems very, I don't know. Doug Burgum strikes me as, like, the Secretary of Agriculture. You know what I mean? Somebody who's in the administration, you kind of maybe seen his face a couple times when there's, like, a farm bill going on, but, like, really not a dynamic guy at all. Now, Pence wasn't either, so maybe he goes down that road. Tim Scott is the next one. Again, another do-no-harm type candidate. Obviously, he would hit the African-American vote when you're talking about addressing a specific group. He can raise a lot of money. He's very, very good at that. I don't know if he's straight out of central casting exactly, and I don't know where his loyalties would lie on a January 6th. I think he'd be the type of person who would do what Pence did, frankly, and I don't know, think that that's going to be likely that he would be the pick. J.D. Vance is up next. 5-1 are the odds on J.D. Vance. By the way, 4-1 for Scott and Burgum as the co-favorites. J.D. Vance, 5-1. He's an attack dog. If he goes down that road, J.D. Vance is a good one. Does not attract a specific group. Now, maybe you say Midwesterners, and I will say the three most important states, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania in this race, are Midwestern states. Now, Vance is from Ohio, but he has those sensibilities. Could he make an argument there? Yes, I think so. Do I think he's a non-Pence on January 6th? Yes, I do think that. Will he be loyal? Yes. He was a critic of Trump at one point, had his own set of views, and has really changed those. He does have very well-defined views. It'd be interesting if Trump really violated them, how he would react to that. Can he raise some funds? Yeah. Is he good in the media? Yeah. Is he straight out of central casting? Kind of, yeah. Like, he's a good media personality, knows how to do this stuff. Doesn't seem to be completely, focused on abortion. To me, J.D. Vance would be a very consistent pick with the Trump administration. And he's had success in elections before. He's the type of person that could carry the torch for a Trumpian sort of ideological future. J.D. Vance, if you go away from identity politics, J.D. Vance seems like an obvious choice in many ways, and I think he'd be up for it. Seems to be interested. Marco Rubio at 8-1. Now, Rubio is interesting because he checks off a lot of these boxes. I think he's straight out of central casting. Maybe, yeah. I don't think he's a non-Pence on January 6th. And I don't think he's the type of person who's going to come out and say the election was stolen to prove his loyalty to Donald Trump. Subservience might be an issue there. He has come a long way on that one. He was a high critic of Trump. Trump does like people who used to dislike him and have now come along. He tends to come along with people like that. Rubio's good with the media. Rubio, though, has strongly held views on things like funding the Ukraine war that I think would be interesting with Donald Trump. He's at 8-1. Tulsi Gabbard at 9-1, I think, is an interesting pick. Gabbard, by the way, I really like Tulsi Gabbard. She's been on the network many, many times. I am terrified of having a former Bernie Sanders campaign head as the vice president of the United States with a guy who's 77 years old as president. That is not a good formula for me. I like her a lot. She brings a lot to the table, but, like, she's not conservative. And I want a conservative on the ticket. So for me, I don't think this would be a good pick. However, I think she does bring some interesting things to the table. She's very smart. She's good on TV. She knows what she's talking about. She's a Democrat, so she's kind of not going to be harsh on the abortion issue. She is good with the media. She, is a female from the identity politics thing. She can be an attack dog. She can also be a do no harm. She kind of checks a lot of these boxes and might appeal to the idea in Donald Trump of, hey, we need to go to the middle a little bit and attract some of the other candidates. I'm going to go through some of these others here. Ben Carson, 11-1, seems really unlikely. Elise Stefanik, I think, is a legitimate possibility. She doesn't check every box, but she's been very good over the past few months and has been very loyal to Donald Trump. In fact, she came out the other day and said basically she wouldn't have certified the election. I think that's a key thing for a Trump pick. Lee Zeldin, I don't think he has that profile. He didn't win. He came close, but didn't win. Kristi Noem, I think the dog thing kind of pushes her out, though. Again, there are attributes that I would not be surprised at all to see her in the cabinet. Mike Flynn is, just not going to be the pick. RFK Jr., I'm certain, is not going to be the pick. He's actually going to be on the ticket at another candidate, so I don't know why he's on the list. Ron DeSantis, again, I think DeSantis has taken a tact of saying, like, look, I'll vote for Donald Trump, I'm endorsing him, but he wants to be the 2028 guy. And I think the 2024 VP obviously has a step up in that realm, but I don't think he wants to be tied to this race. I don't think he's confident that Trump is going to win it. And he hasn't come into the fold the way you'd expect a VP to do that. Vivek Ramaswamy has, but Trump has at least outwardly already ruled him out. So I wouldn't go that way. Mike Pompeo, I don't think that's going to happen. Nikki Haley, no way. I mean, Haley has gone the opposite direction. She has said she, you know, she's put herself out as the face of the opposition in the Republican Party. So I don't think that's happening. You want a long shot pick? You want to throw it out there? Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I mean, again, been loyal to Trump. There's some consternation about how long it took her to endorse Trump in the primary, some upset heads over in the Trump. But again, she was the press secretary for Trump. We know she can go on TV. She can do this. She's now a governor of a state. So she's, I think there's a, you want to go long shot? That's one I might throw a couple bucks on. Maybe you think about Byron Donalds. I don't think his profile is high enough, though, at this point. Tucker Carlson would obviously be a very high profile pick. I don't think Tucker would want to do it. Also, it's a big personality. He's got really well-defined views. I don't think Donald Trump wants to get into that game. That would be an interesting one. I don't think Tucker would want to do it, and I don't think Trump would be the right fit. And then the last one is Field, which is interesting. I mean, Nancy Mace would be someone you might bring up. Some people were bringing up Carrie Lake for a while. She's running for Senate. I don't think she'd be the pick. The field is interesting. I mean, I don't know that the pick is on that list I just gave you. Taking the field, everyone else, seeing who that is an interesting one, because there could be a name that kind of pops up out of nowhere. Certainly Sarah Palin would have been in the field when we came up to that McCain pick. Trump has some acumen to surprise, obviously. But I do think that, like, he doesn't want the attention to be on this VP. He wants it to be about Donald Trump. We all know that. So I think if you're looking, I think J.D. Vance, Stefanik, maybe a long shot, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. That might be where I sprinkled my money, and maybe a few bucks on the field as well at 8-1. That's where I would go right now. Who do you think it's going to be? Drop it in the comments below if you're on YouTube. We have more coming up. Glenn Beck, is he the VP? Maybe I'll ask him. Is he in the conversation? Because if so, we know Donald Trump has gone completely insane. But we'll be back with Glenn in just a second. Since 2007, Folds of Honor has provided life-changing scholarships to the spouses and children of America's fallen or disabled in combat. It's a great organization. 2023 is extended to include the families of fallen first responders as well. They've awarded 51,000 scholarships, more than $200 million so far. They're doing great work. The need is still great, but together we can make sure that no qualified applicant is turned away. Now, Flying Ace has aligned with Folds of Honor to ensure the children of our American heroes receive the education they deserve. As proud supporters of Folds of Honors, Flying Ace has had the privilege of providing hope for families who protect our freedom. To that end, Flying Ace is proudly sponsoring 4 scholarships awarded quarterly this year. If you can, donate today. Help them make a great impact. You might say, oh, is that a commercial for Folds of Honor? No, it's for Flying Ace Spirits. But, like, you're going to really love what they do. If you happen to be someone who enjoys an adult beverage from time to time, Flying Ace Spirits is the place to go. But what they have decided to prioritize as they try to give the message to you is the work they're doing with Folds of Honor, which is really, really a great thing to do. You can scan the QR code on your screen, which is right there right now. The link is also in the show notes. When you purchase a bottle of Flying Ace, you also will be donating to Folds of Honor. Make sure you use the promo code America. You'll get free shipping on every order. It's flyingacespirits.com. Flyingacespirits.com. The promo code is America at flyingacespirits.com.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
I'm joined by Glenn Beck. He has a new special coming up, 9 p.m. Eastern. Tonight it is The Reckoning. Leak exposes dark world of gender-affirming care. Be sure to stay tuned. It is an important special. And this kind of comes from the work of Michael Schellenberger. He was able to come in contact with a bunch of these files. And what did he do? Just sort of release them all in mass?
He couldn't. He worked on them 8 months. He could only get so much of them done with his research staff because he's working on several different other things. And so he took all of them and just put them online and then said to media outlets, please go through these and expose this. Mm-hmm. And I think we might be the only one. Okay.
So everyone's handed the same story.
Everybody's handed the same story and all of the work, but you have to put a lot of work into it. It's a lot of, I feel bad for some of the researchers on the team. Michaela, poor Michaela. She is like, she's the happiest. She's like our, you know, right. She's like Thumper in Bambi. Yeah, like, your mom burned to death, but it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
She's this really screwed her up. Really screwed her up.
It's some dark. I can see why. It's really dark.
Michael Schellenberger said on radio today, it is, he thinks, the worst medical scandal, he said, in history, but I would put it in American or world history outside of World War II. You know, the Japanese were kind of doing some things, and the Germans were doing some things that were bad. But this is in line with that. I really, truly believe that this is at least Tuskegee. Mm-hmm. It's up there with the sterilization of those unfit by the eugenists in the United States in the early teens and 20s here in America. It's experiments without consent. There's lots of lawsuits coming, and nobody is really standing up against this. Nobody is exposing what this organization, WPATH, which is the World Psychiatric something on transgender health. Mm-hmm. And they make all the guidelines. Well, this is all of their internal communication. There are no guidelines. There's no scientific anything happening here. And we're going to take you through it tonight. And we're going to give you an action plan, too. We're giving you a letter that we would like you to customize yourself and send it to the AMA and the American Psychiatric Association, all of these, because they're all just going along with WPATH. And there is no science in WPATH.
This is what's fascinating about this story, is that I think one of the problems with reversing it is that nobody wants to think about it. Like, it's the worst things you can think about, right? Especially when it comes to children. So people want to avoid it. And I think a lot of organizations that aren't necessarily inherently nefarious say, well, I don't know, who's the expert on this? And this is who they get, is WPATH.
So let me tell you a true story. Back in the early 1930s, the eugenicists, all in eugenics, and we can build a better man and, you know, solve all of our problems through eugenics, in Germany, started getting rid of children. And at first, they were just killing them with, injecting them with poison and killing them, and then calling the parents and saying, they died, they had cold, they did this, they did that. And until it got to be such a number, people were like, wait, all of our kids are just dying in these hospitals. And so they pushed on it, and Hitler came out and said, this is horrible. You know, these medical doctors, what they're doing. So he banned it. He stopped it, okay, for the public. Then he went back to the medical association and the doctors and the hospitals and said, keep doing it, just don't let people know about it. And so that's how the gas chambers and everything else started. This is the medical community going way, way awry in the same kinds of ways that we've always had to apologize for. They're doing medical experiments. The families are not giving their informed consent because they're not being informed. They're not telling them what the ramifications are on it. The medical insurance is just going with it. Do you know that a girl had her breasts removed? She went into a doctor. She said, I have gender dysphoria. I think I'm a boy. I'm just going through a procedure for my back where they're going to burn the nerves out of my back for my legs.
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
I'm celebrating. I can't wait for this to happen. But I had to go through two experiments just with them putting four injections into my back to numb the nerves to see if that will help. I had to do it twice now over a three-week period for insurance. And I had to be at least 80% better for insurance to okay the procedure, which I'm going to have done. Okay? This girl walked into a doctor's office. Within 50 minutes, he okayed the procedure to be done to remove her breasts. 50. What can you possibly learn from somebody in 50 minutes? There's no testing? We're just going to talk about it?
No one else has to approve it?
Nope.
Just
insurance.
Happens.
Insurance won't question any of this. As long as you are, and you'll see in this, in tonight's special, where the WPATH people are talking to doctors, and doctors are like, I'm not having a problem at all. As long as all I have to say is it's been approved and it's with the standards of WPATH. Okay, fine. The standards have changed 8 times in the last few years. Mm. They're making it up as they go along.
Right. And that's what these records show?
Yes.
These internal conversations?
Oh, yeah.
They don't have anything behind this. There's no huge studies.
There's no science. It is all what these people who are pseudoscientists. It's exactly the same as the eugenics people back around the turn of the century. It's the same. This is pseudoscience.
It's weird, too. You have this almost like waterfall, right, where the WPATH is at the top, and they are saying, here's what is okay. And every group below them, even the, I think the doctors at some level, certainly the parents, are like, well, I don't know. This is an impossible situation. My kid is telling me there's some other gender. They seem really distressed. I'm worried they're suicidal. What do I do? Well, here's what the experts say. So
they're not, you know, I'm sorry, but if I'm bringing my car into Jiffy Lube, I don't expect that the Jiffy Lube guy is going to know all the science behind everything in my car.
Right.
But if I'm going to a medical doctor, I expect him to be questioning the science and knowing. What he's done is he's just acquiesced to WPATH where there is no science. There is no science behind this. This is why all of the rest of the world, they're doing studies. Their doctors, their hospitals, their research teams are doing studies and seeing this doesn't work. This is very damaging to kids. It's sterilizing kids. We are mass sterilizing our children. Why? The rest of the world has turned its back and is getting away. We are embracing WPATH like crazy.
Even more. Because I feel
even
like
more.
There's
it's
been pushback.
Stop.
It hasn't. There's no reversal.
There's no reversal. Yet there is pushback now, but there's no reversal. That's one of the things we're going to show you tonight in the special. We're going to give you a letter to write the AMA and everybody else. You've got to sever your relationship with WPATH. If they will do that, there is hope that things will start to reverse back to the way the rest of the world is going.
For as long as we've been doing the show together, there's kind of been this generalized understanding between like us and Europe. We're like, Europe was always a little bit further ahead on the crazy cycle than we were. You know, they were always kind of leading the way. Now they seem to be leading the way, coming back to sanity.
They're warning their people about American doctors.
Really?
They're warning their people about us. That's bad.
Yeah. So is there a way to turn this over?
Yeah, there is. And it starts with exposure. It starts with everybody knowing it. And this, you know, I really feel bad for the parents of these kids because they're told it's either this or the kid's going to commit suicide.
Right.
And they don't know.
Right.
They don't know. You will know today. And if you don't have this problem, I guarantee you, you will know somebody who has this problem. And you have to arm them with the facts. Otherwise, they're going to be railroaded by the system.
And there is some level of parenting that's just selfish and that you don't want to be the person who screws your kid up. Like, you know what? I don't want to be blamed for doing some terrible thing that screws your kid up. And if your kid is going through some of this, and God forbid they do wind up committing suicide, as we know, many people who are in the situation do. I mean, a high percentage as compared to the other population of the country. Then the parent is stuck in this position of like, oh my gosh, I could have done something and didn't. And I think it puts parents in an impossible position. I mean, you have to have a foundation of this. If you know what the truth is, and you're not going to be won over by some crazy person telling you that your kids should be encouraged to change their gender, then maybe you can survive this. But it's hard for parents to do.
So you have to decide, though, when you're standing up against this and you're informed, you have to decide, is it better for my daughter to never be able to have a child, never be able to breastfeed, never be able to have a sexual relationship, a normal sexual relationship with anybody ever again, go through pain for the rest of her life while she might be just having a phase?
Yeah.
Is it better? Is that a better outcome than, and this is going to sound really horrible, than suicide? Because let me tell you something. We have a story of a woman tonight where she did everything the doctors told her to do. Put her daughter on, hormones. Her daughter said she was a man, started living as a man, only made things worse for her. She knelt down in front of a train. Okay? So, all right, what are you going to do? If you have to do everything you can, but you cannot disconnect from the truth.
Right.
And if suicide is the other end, I don't want that to, you know me and suicide, I don't want that to happen. I've dealt with that with my children, 3 out of my 4 children, I've dealt with it. My mother committed suicide, my brother committed suicide. It runs through my family. I know what that is like, okay? But that can't be the thing that a doctor uses to scare me into another lie that will permanently change my daughter or son's future forever, forever, all based on a lie. I can't do it. I can't.
So what is in these files? You will find out tonight on Glenn's new special. It's called The Reckoning. Leak exposes dark world of gender-affirming care. It is available on Blaze TV. Go to blazetv.com/Stu. Promo code is Stu. You'll save $20 off your subscription to Blaze TV. Some of this, you can get this for free, right, Glenn?
Yeah, we want everybody to be able to watch this. So
okay. If you're not a subscriber, I mean,
for 24 hours, you can watch it for free. And I don't think the whole thing is going to be on Pluto tonight.
It's too long, right?
It's too... I mean, this is the script.
Oh my gosh, that's much longer.
I don't think I've ever had a script that long, and they won't even give me an estimate. I'm like, how many words is it? A lot.
Yeah.
You know,
there's
we
so
word
much.
Count, and there's a lot here, and we're not going to cut anything.
Really important information tonight, right after the show, blazetv.com/Stu. Glenn, thanks so much.
You bet.
There's Glenn standing in front of the camera again as the commercial starts. But luckily, it's for his company, so he can't complain. He literally has no right to complain whatsoever.
I can complain, and I do quite often.
Yeah, you do. He does complain about the spots for his own company. Let's say realestateagentsitrust.com is a place that you might want to go. That's what we're going to recommend. Why? Because you need to have the best agent, whether you're buying or selling a home. Glenn started this company a while ago because he was whining about something. Now, he's always whining about something, but he was whining about something specific with his real estate agents. He wasn't getting the results he wanted, and he thought there had to be a better way to find one than just like, hey, a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. Well, you can do better than that. realestateagentsitrust.com is a site that goes through all these people, says, hey, here are the people with the best results, here are the people who do the best work, and they bring them directly to you. Now, the best part about this, of course, it's a free service to you. So why wouldn't you check this out? Why wouldn't you try to get the best agent in your area instead of just an agent? It's realestateagentsitrust.com. Go there now. Check it out. The name kind of says it all. realestateagentsitrust.com.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, Frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Cespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
So when you have one of these big, like, corporate scandals, thefts, embezzlement, all this stuff, and there's a big bankruptcy, what usually happens at the end of that? I mean, you think of someone like Bernie Madoff, right? You invest a bunch of money with Madoff, he goes out, you know, the pyramid scheme falls apart, and, you know, you spend years and years and years and years trying to reclaim any of your money. Maybe there's a little bit left somewhere, maybe you get a little bit back. The FTX thing is going on, and this is a real standout in this world. This very rarely happens, but what's gone on since the FTX situation went out of business, people had all this money in there, they lost all their money, right? Well, maybe not. In fact, it seems like now FTX is going to give them all their money back. FTX has billions more than they needed to pay the bankruptcy victims. This is a fascinating story because basically what happened was one of the reasons why all of this fell apart for FTX is all of this kind of happened at the time when there was a downturn in crypto. We were at the end of the 2021 hype and it was really going sour. And that's when it all fell apart. Well, since then, everything's come back and it's come back to normal and come back to all-time highs. So now they had all this crypto just held in these accounts. It wasn't gone. It was there the whole time. In fact, the Michael Lewis book, Going Infinite, which came out a year ago or so, kind of controversially at the end of the book makes the case that actually the money was there the whole time. And you could make a case that it was kind of there even when FTX went under. But there were just a couple of timeline issues that didn't work out and the whole thing. That doesn't excuse what Sam Bankman-Fried did. But if you happen to have money in FTX, it looks like there's a good chance you're going to get your money back. And I don't know if you're going to get more, but maybe there's a chance that you actually get your cash back, which would be fantastic for all the people affected. And there were a lot of them. So we will see. We'll keep you updated on that. And, they always say, don't keep your coins on exchanges. That's just a little reminder if you happen to be in the crypto world. Another safety tip, if you happen to be in the human world, is making sure you get your fruits and vegetables. Now, you might not be doing that because, honestly, when you have like something at Taco Bell, maybe the vegetables aren't really part of that equation for you. So, in fact, most people don't even eat like half of the recommended servings in a day. It's a huge gap in your nutrition. That's why Balance of Nature exists. Balance of Nature provides an on-the-go solution. Their proprietary blend of 31 fruits and vegetables come in easy-to-swallow capsules. Give your body so much of the nourishment that it needs. You're not going to eat 31 different kinds of fruits and vegetables in a single day, but you can do that with Balance of Nature, and you can do that in seconds with Balance of Nature. Plus, you don't have to, suffer through the kale. You know, who wants to do that? Balanceofnature.com. Get there. Go there now. Get 35% off plus 10% of any additional sets with your first order as a preferred customer by using the discount code STEW. That's limited to 5 sets, but you're going to save a ton of money while getting fruits and vegetables that you need in your diet. Go to balanceofnature.com. Balanceofnature.com. Use the promo code STEW. Get 35% off right now. Do it now. The code is STEW at balanceofnature.com. Donald Trump is blessed by the dumbest enemies possible. And that is a real blessing for Trump. In fact, all this legal stuff that's going on right now, he's in a great position. We talked about the Stormy Daniels thing yesterday. They almost got a mistrial yesterday because of all the different directions they went in and that they were not supposed to go into. I mean, even the liberal judge was going after the prosecution on this. We also then have the Florida case. Now, the Florida case is, to me, one of the least consequential cases, but they did have maybe the best evidence of the obstruction of justice on that particular case. However, the Trump classified documents trial is being postponed indefinitely. Why? It seems like they fooled with the evidence. You remember the picture of all the documents with the cover sheets? Well, apparently those cover sheets were not with the documents. They added them and then released the picture to make it look worse for Trump, at least allegedly. And so this has now caused a major delay. They didn't think they were going to get this trial in anyway before the election. Now it seems like there's absolutely no chance. That leaves you with the January 6th stuff. Well, Georgia, we know about the Fannie Willis thing where they were, she was sleeping around and that almost derailed that thing completely. Well, she's now refusing to testify before a GOP-led Georgia panel, but also that trial was also postponed yet again. Doesn't seem like that one's going to get in. Now you're really left with the federal January 6th thing, which also seems like a real long shot to go on before the election. Really, it seems like it comes down to just the Stormy Daniels thing, which is the weakest of the case with the weakest legal argument. He may very well still get convicted there, but I think most people will see through that. That's a fascinating development and really good news for Donald Trump. I saw a headline today that said RFK Jr. : dead worm in brain, now dead. Well, I mean, is the worm dead or is RFK? What happened here? I was a little concerned for the future of RFK here. No, it was just that RFK apparently said he had a worm in his brain and that ate part of his brain and then died inside. I assume there's going to be maybe some additional reporting on this, so we can find out what the truth is. But just another story that, to me, explains a lot about RFK.